Good morning. Happy Easter, everybody. Man, it's great to see you guys here today, and I'm so happy that you're worshiping with us. I think someday we should just turn the service over to Irvin and Tiffany and just give them a microphone. Man, that was a welcome if we've ever had one right there. That was awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, the title of today's message is, I Want to Believe, But... And there's always seemed like a big but that gets in the way of our faith, right? I almost titled this message, Seeing Around the Big Butts in Life. But I thought that title might be a little bit too distracting and you might take it wrong. For many of us, I think, if we're just real honest with each other and we're transparent here, I think for many of us, the story of Blondin here illustrates so well our faith journey that we have. We want to believe, but, I mean, I believe you can carry a man across on this tightrope in a wheelbarrow, but not enough that I'm willing to get in the wheelbarrow. I mean, I believe you can do this, but I'm not going to be that man or I'm not going to be that woman. I'm not willing to put actually enough trust in you for my life. What if you fall? What if I die? You know, what if I get hurt? What if it's not true that you can do this? I want to believe, but. Well, welcome, because we're in this brand new series. You might not have known this when you came on Easter Sunday today, but you have just launched with us today in a brand new series called Believe. And it's 10 weeks long. We're starting today on a journey for 10 weeks that we're going to begin exploring what some basic, fundamental, foundational faith building aspects can be in our life. We're going to talk about God, how you can believe in God. We're going to talk about how you can have a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with the God of the universe who flung the stars into existence. We're going to look at how you can believe and know for sure that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and that why we come to celebrate on this day of Easter. You're going to come, and if you journey with us on this series on belief, you're going to see why it is that we hold this supernatural Bible to the highest of regards because it is the holy word of God. You're going to see how it supernaturally was put together by God in an amazing way as a guide for us and God's redemptive story to man. But as we embark on this journey together, I really hope that you'll journey with us. As we embark on this journey, I want to tell you that I'm not going to try to manipulate you to get you to believe what I believe. I'm really not. That's not going to be my goal. I understand that every one of us, every single one of us in this room are on a little bit different level of where we're at in our own faith journey. I get that. We understand that. Some of you, you're just checking this whole Christianity thing out. Maybe you're here today just because it is Easter. Maybe you're here because you lost a bet at work, you know? Maybe you're here because your neighbor invited you to join us for the Easter egg hunt afterwards. Maybe you're here just checking things out. Maybe you're here and you honestly just can't say that you believe in God. You have a lot of doubts in your mind about believing in God. You have a lot of unanswered questions and you're skeptical in your faith. And I just want you to know, that's okay. And you're not alone. In this room, you're not alone. Some of you, you're new Christians. You aren't really even sure what it is that you do believe. You just know that you were hurting, you were broken, you came here, there were people around that sort of looked different than the rest of the world, and you have developed some community, you've developed some friendships, your life has taken a turn. You're not exactly sure what it is that you believe, but you're just super glad to be here, and you still have, in your own minds, have doubts and wondering what it is that maybe this is all about. I don't understand the Bible very well. What is it? You know, others of you, you've been here. You've been Christians for a long time. You've been bruised. and you've been battered, you've been hurt, and you've been wounded by the church. I think there's those of you here who would say that. I think if we were real honest and we're just transparent, I think there's some of you that are just going to say, hey, I was wounded by a pastor. I was wounded by a church. I was wounded by a group of people that I thought were my friends in a church. And it's just, honestly, it's caused me to just kind of go, I want to believe, but... And I have some doubts. I just want you to know that you're not alone. I think there are some of you who have grown up in the faith and you've always gone to church. You've always studied your Bible. You've always read. You've always prayed. You've always taught your kids to do those things. But I think when the lights are off and you're laying in bed at night, and you're just laying there in a conscious state thinking, I think if you're honest, there are some of you that have grown up in the faith all your life and you just kind of go, is this all for real? Is this thing that I'm putting my faith in, is this thing that I'm putting my life on the line for, is this all for real? Or is this just some made up thing? And I think if you're real honest with yourself, and if I'm honest with you, I'd say, hey, we have doubt from time to time, don't we? I think we have doubt. I want to believe, but. And I think when we look at this, sometimes we tend to think that we only have two options here. You know, you either believe or you don't believe. This is either black or this is white. This is either you get in the wheelbarrow or you don't. This is, I believe, or I'm an unbeliever. And I don't think that's exactly right. One day my belief meter is full. The other day my belief meter is empty. But the thing is that belief can be a continuum for us. You know, if you look at this graphic here, it's sort of like there's some things that you just go, over here you go, there's just no way. There's no way that this happened. There's no way possible that this happened. And all the way over to the other side of this, you just kind of go, this is my core belief. This is everything that I stake my life on. I believe this. And then somewhere in between is where a lot of us live. You know, I think, well, some of you are like, I don't really know. And honestly, I don't really care. I'm not at that point in my life yet. I don't really care. Some of you go, I think this is a 50-50 chance. I think it's possibly. I think there's a pretty good chance of this thing being real, you know. And I think somewhere along the line there, we have our belief continuum. Some beliefs we just don't question. I mean, think about it. What beliefs? What are those beliefs for you? What are those beliefs that you just don't question? You just know that you know that you know. And then there are some beliefs you just go, I just don't really know. I don't know. I'm really struggling with this. One day, my belief meter is completely full, and the other day, it's empty. And I just think if we're honest with each other, we'll all have our doubts. We all have our doubts. Whether we doubt that Jesus is God, whether we doubt that God is God, whether that God is real, whether we believe that the Bible is true, whether we believe that God can heal, whether we believe that he hears our prayers, whether we believe that he rose from the dead, actually, why is it that we celebrate him on this day? I think that we, if we're just honest, we have doubts. Doubt occurs when what you believe doesn't match up with what you see. And so, you know, we just want to say to you, if this is not a regular part of your routine of what you do in life, doubt is normal and it's okay. So as we embark on this believe journey together, I'm not asking you to suspend your doubts. I'm not asking you to sweep your doubts under the rug. I'm not asking you to do anything with your doubts except for this. I want you to embrace your doubts. And if you would join with us for 10 weeks, I want you to embrace your doubts. You see, it comes down to there's really only two types of doubts in the world. If you have your bulletin, you pull this out because I kind of want you to write this down. I think this would be a good reminder for you. And you can kind of look and see where it is that you have the most doubt in your life. And I think there's really only two areas. There might be more, but there's only two that I've seen that you can have doubt in. The first one is intellectual doubt. You have intellectual doubt. And intellectual doubt is brought on by seemingly logical discrepancies, errors in reasoning, and apparent paradoxes. I was an intellectual doubter early on in my walk. Honestly, it was not until I read More Than a Carpenter that really gave me solid evidence in defending my faith. I would highly encourage you, if you have not read that book, More Than a Carpenter, if you're like me who like pictures in your book, that's the book for you. You know, if you're you know, an engineer, PhD, you want the other one that is evidence that demands a verdict. It's like this thick with no pictures. More Than a Carpenter is like me, pictures and easy to understand. And I was an intellectual doubter. My first name's Thomas, by the way. I'm an intellectual doubter. I ask questions all the time. I can't believe that the earth is supposed to be less than billions and billions of years old. I can't believe that a donkey actually talked. I mean, I've been in the office where some donkeys have talked before. But a real donkey, you know, I can't believe that a real donkey has actually talked. I can't believe that a man got swallowed up by a fish. I can't believe that Jesus walked on water. You ever seen anybody walk on water? It's not logical. I'm an intellectual doubter. I can't believe that Jesus actually really raise from the dead? And I just want to say, if that's ever crossed your mind before as a doubter, you are not alone. Even one of Jesus' very own disciples that he handpicked, that I was apparently named after, who he had invested in for 3 years, was an intellectual doubter. So here's a little bit of the background on this first Easter. It was the evening of the first Easter. Jesus had been raised from the dead. And in John chapter 20, the scripture says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Why were they afraid? They thought that everything that they had believed in over the last 3 years was all a farce. They thought it was all a hoax. They thought it was over. They thought that the same means of death that Jesus had happened to them would happen to them. That the Jewish leaders would be coming for them soon. So they were behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and in his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. If we bump on down there, it says in 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "No, I won't believe it until I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." I mean, you can understand that, right? We all can understand that. People don't just rise from the dead every day. That's not something that we're accustomed to seeing. It's logically inconceivable, you know? And so Thomas demands this strict empirical evidence. Evidence that he can see, that he can visualize, and that he can touch. He wants evidence not only that Jesus is alive, but evidence that Jesus actually died in the first place. And he needs to see something in order to believe, in order to overcome these intellectual roadblocks. The interesting thing is that Thomas really gets a bad rap. He really does. Because all of the disciples, not just Thomas, doubted. In Mark chapter 16, it says, "But when she," Mary, "had told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they," all of them, "didn't believe her." They didn't believe her. In Luke 24, it says, "But the story sounded like nonsense to the men." And who's ever heard of a man coming back to life? So they didn't believe it. It just so happens that Thomas was the last one to see him. And the question is, who is Thomas really even doubting? Is Thomas doubting Jesus? I think Thomas is doubting the other disciples. Intellectual doubt is often seen as doubting God. But in reality, it is really doubting other people's evidence or perspectives on God rather than God himself. And the truth is, it's not just Thomas that doubts. It's me. And I think it's you. And I think it's all of us from time to time who struggle with intellectual doubt. Now that's one doubt, and we'll see how Jesus handles this in a second. The other doubt is an emotional doubt. Emotional doubt is brought on by your hurtful or your painful experiences that you've had in your past, or maybe even what's going on right now. Emotional doubt typically stems from not having your expectations met. I tried praying, but nothing happened. Or I believed that God would heal my loved one, but they died. I believed that God would give us a baby, but we're still childless. I believed that God would take care of our finances, but we still went bankrupt. I believed that this was the right man, but he was still just a jerk, you know? I believed that this was a good church, and yet I just still got wounded. There's so many hypocrites. Or how can a loving God have all these bad things happen in the world? I think some of you, and I think if we're honest, many of us, if not all of us in this room, have struggled with emotional doubt from time to time. I have. Man, there was a time when my dad was about my age that he is right now, and he was dying of cancer, and for about 3 years I was in an emotional doubting state, even as a pastor. God, are you really there? I love, one of my favorite lines in the whole scripture, and it's going to be a rare one. It's not one that you probably memorize, but it's found in this passage here in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. I'm going to read this passage for you. And we get down to the very end, you're going to see what I think is one of the greatest verses of scripture that we can hang on. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked, and one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher," and he's desperate. He says, "I brought my son to you so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit and won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. And then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." And Jesus looks at his disciples, and I find this to be humorous. He says, "You faithless people, how long do you have to walk with me? How long do you have to be with me? How long do you have to see the things that we've done before you get it? You know, how long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. And I like this too. This shows that Jesus isn't even concerned with the demon at the moment. You know, it's almost like the demon is throwing a tantrum. I know some of your kids have thrown tantrums and convulsed, but if they're foaming at the mouth, that's usually not demon possession, all right? And so the boy's down here, and he's foaming at the mouth, and Jesus like turns away from him, looks at the dad, and just kind of goes, "So how long has this been going on? You know, how long is..." He didn't get all excited or, "Oh my gosh, look at this, what's going..." He just like leaves the demon there, looks at the dad. "How long has this been going on?" And the boy's father says, "Since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And then the father cries out, and here's the verse. I just love this. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Right? I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. The fact that the father brought his son to be healed shows that he obviously had faith that he can be healed. Some of you came in here today, you obviously thought there's something that could happen differently in my life. Even though I'm doubting, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. And so the father begins to doubt. The man expected his son to be healed, but when he wasn't, he begins to doubt when the disciples failed at the first task. But he hasn't given up yet. He still comes to Jesus, but his doubt is beginning to creep through. Heal him if you can. And then he says this great line, I want to believe, but. I think he's being honest about where he is on the continuum of belief. I want to believe, but my past experience tells me that I can't believe that. I believe it in my head, but my heart isn't quite there yet. Some of you, maybe you feel that way or you know that. I believe you can do it, God. I'm just not entirely sure that you will do it. Today I believe, but tomorrow I may doubt again. Help me in my unbelief. I do believe a lot of things, but there are still a lot of things that I doubt. Can I just say that you're not alone? And what I think will help us, how do we move the spiritual needle forward in our life? We've been talking about this a lot. We've been talking about this a lot over the last few weeks. How can we move the spiritual needle forward in your life? We talked about having a daily quiet time with God. It's one of the fastest ways you can move the spiritual needle forward in your life. We talked about not giving up on the habit of coming together and worshiping and encouraging each other. We talked about that, the importance of what church is. That we need you as much as you need the church. We need you to encourage us to continue on in this faith journey. And we talked about life in community. But another way that we can move the spiritual needle forward in our life is to confess our doubt. It's actually to confess our doubt. The journey of belief in this series, the journey of belief begins with the confession of our unbelief. And when you just go ahead and get that out there and say, I doubt in these ways, it actually can be liberating for you, and it's when God begins to show up and do some of his best work in your life. And it can be just completely liberating. And here's Jesus' response to both of these types of doubts, both the emotional doubt and the intellectual doubt. Here's Jesus' response. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. He takes care of the problem. Jesus is not offended. Not one time did he go to the dad, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to take care of this problem because you're doubting me. I'm sorry, you didn't believe 100%. So you asked the question, if I can. Nope, that was wrong. You know? No, Jesus took care of the problem in spite of or despite of this man's belief and doubt. The other way he handled it was intellectual doubt, was with Thomas. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, and Jesus was standing among them, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, go ahead, put your finger here. Put your finger here, look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe, Thomas. Believe. What does Thomas say? Oh, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. But Jesus wasn't angered by Thomas's doubting. He doesn't push Thomas aside or push him away. He actually invites him to come and explore him, to say, go ahead, check it out. And here's where Thomas's faith, not his doubt, sets him apart. Thomas gets a bad rap, and he may be guilty of unbelief, but he is the only person that we see in all four Gospels of the disciples to make an unequivocal faith statement in the lordship and divinity of Jesus Christ when he says, my Lord and my God. And even after seeing him, did you notice he never actually went, the scripture doesn't say he actually went and touched his hands. He believed once he even saw. Thomas isn't, in fact, as skeptical as he thought. Or as we thought, it is actually Thomas's doubt, if you think about it, it's Thomas's doubt that paves the way for him to have a greater faith in Jesus. Faith is not the absence of doubt, but it's believing despite your doubts. And boy, if we can go away with that today, that'll be huge for us, because doubt can pave the way for us to have a much greater faith. It's been in my times of intellectual and emotional doubt that I've pursued Christ with everything I have. And he's never hard to find. He always shows up just on time. And so, what I want to encourage you with, I'm not trying to convince you today that Jesus rose from the dead. I know that's what you've probably gotten that on most messages that you come on Easter. I'm not trying to convince you of that today. I'm trying to get you to journey with us. And if you'll just journey with us for 10 weeks, you can carve out 10 Sundays in a row. Just 10 Sundays in a row, you carve those out and you journey with us. We're gonna allow our doubts to pave the way for what God can do in you with your faith in him. And I think it's gonna be powerful. So if I could say, what do I want you to go home with today? What do I want you to do today? I want you to confess that it's okay. I have doubts. All right, I'm going to confess that, God, I have doubts. The second thing, I want you to come back next week and journey with us as we launch into this Believe series. And here's the third thing, and you're going to see this in just a moment. You're going to see from last Sunday's service, we had one of the most monumental services in the history of our church of 18 years last Sunday, where God has been radically changing and moving the spiritual needle forward in people's lives, and bringing about freedom and breaking free and allowing us to be free in Christ. And we've done that through a discipleship time together called Rooted. And we're going to launch that next Sunday. We're going to have Rooted groups. Rooted groups are small groups of people who have doubts, who have questions, who come together in a safe environment, and we're able to ask those questions. And we're able to explore God's word. We're able to encourage each other. We learn what it means to pray, how to pray. We learn how to serve people in our community. We learn how to break free from the spiritual bondages that keep us chained in our lives. And we're going to launch that next Sunday. Now, here's what I want to say. Next Sunday, if you're able to come to church, and then from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, I'm going to explain this 10-week journey. I'm going to explain the 10-week journey of Rooted. For those of you who have already gone through Rooted, we want you to connect in community with each other, again, in safe environments to begin to pave the way for a greater faith and a stronger faith through neighborhood groups. And you can find out more about that in the welcome tent area in the back, or in the front where you first came in. And we would love to help you get connected here. It's time. It's time to start moving the spiritual needle forward in your life. It's time to believe. Would you stand with me? Let me pray for us. After this prayer, I want you to, we're going to have a time of worship, but I want you just to witness. what took place here, because I know many of you weren't here last week, so I want you to just witness what took place here in this room with what God is doing as we worship him. Father, we give you honor and glory on this day that we set aside as Easter to celebrate the resurrection. And God, we, like your disciples, from time to time, we struggle with our belief and we have doubts. God, I pray like the man that just says, I do believe, but will you help me with my unbelief? I pray that for all of us in this room. And that our doubts and that our unsureties will begin to pave the way as we pursue you, Jesus. Would you reveal yourself to us? Would you radically transform us and change our lives? We pray this today in Jesus' name.